Hi friends, happy Friday. I trust you're having a really great day. I am, and it's going to get better. Proverbs 4:18 says. Happy Friday, Shabbat Shalom to my Jewish friends. And you know, in a moment, I want to share just some thoughts on how to find and fulfill the major call of God on your life. You don't want to miss this. But let me give you a few quick updates and housekeeping things today. So today is Friday and I'm working from home today. I have homeschoolers in my church office and building, which is great. And it's really good to see kids brought up well in the things of God. So before them, my wife's away. I've got my brother-in-law. I've got two of my nephews here from France today and they're staying with us. And also my brother-in-law who lives in the south here in the US, who's with us for a few days. They're all the way in Cape Cod, so I'm alone at home. Yeah. And what's happening? Again, a few quick announcements. This weekend, I have a wedding I'm going to do tomorrow. Always fun to marry people. Sunday, I'm going to be speaking in Sturbridge Worship Center Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon in New England Fellowship in Norwalk, Connecticut. I'm speaking in both services this weekend on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to destroy the lie of cessationalism. The idea that the gifts passed away. You're going to talk about the gifts, how they function, unpack them, and we're actually going to practice some of the gifts in both services. So that's a really fun service. If you are in anywhere near New England, join us, Massachusetts or Connecticut, for those services. Hey, let me mention a couple of other things as well. I have a new course that should be out this weekend, on Monday at the latest, on the goodness of God, the goodness course. So that will be out on my ministry school. Details below me. I also wanted to mention as well, I've just gone public with a missions trip to Ireland. So I'm taking a team to the nation of Ireland in the month of May. That's May 3rd through the 10th. And it's a week of supernatural missions and mentoring as well. Every morning we just do mentoring sessions as a group. And then every evening take them to a different church and let them loose. And just see God. We see God transform the lives of those who come. And transform lives through us, both in churches and on the streets in Ireland. So if you're interested in coming on a European missions trip, now is the season. Good. Again, details for that on my website, gjm.org. Great. Let me read a verse everybody knows and people are always misquoting or frankly misinterpreting. Romans 8:28 says, "We know, not we think, not we hope, not we assume. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God." Do you love God? I love God. I get it wrong. I mess up at times. But I love God. And those who are the called according to His purpose. I want to keep reading, but so often we can identify ourselves as those who love God, and that's good, and that's the basis of everything. Actually, it's not the basis of everything. I mean, let me strike that. If you carry on reading, the real basis of everything is God loves us. Yeah. You say, "Graham, do you love God?" Yeah. We love Him because He first loved us. And when we catch that revelation, then as Paul carries on to say in the rest of this chapter, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Satan can't separate you from the love of God. He tries to separate you from being in Christ Jesus. Selah. But he says here, all things work together for those who love God. Amen. But also those who are the called according to His purpose. And I have a quick question for you today. What are the purposes of God? What is God's purpose for you? And if you carry on reading, verse 29 says, "Whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." You know, we can carry on reading there, but I want to narrow in on that for a few moments today. What's God's will for your life? You know, Satan loves to distract us. He loves to get us not looking at God, not looking at the Word of God, not doing what we should be doing, but rather looking at other things. Satan is the god of distraction. And one of the most dangerous things I'm seeing in the current phase of history we're in, you know, where I live in America, is really good people getting distracted and fighting important but non-essential battles. And, you know, I literally had a conversation with somebody today and they were basically saying to me, "I'm going to walk away from Jesus. I'm going to walk away from the faith because of my politics, because I'm so wedded to this particular brand, a particular team, if you will, in politics. And I think politics is important, but it's not that important. If you had come to say to me, Graham, fishing is the most important thing on planet Earth. Soccer is the most important thing. Who won the Super Bowl? You know, I was sad. I was supporting the team that didn't win last week in the Super Bowl, but it's no big deal. Yeah. And I tell you guys, if you never put God on the same level as politics or any your car, your motorcycle, your wife, your husband, your children, anything like that, we fall into error. And Satan loves to get us distracted away from the call of God. And if he can't get you distracted into sin, he'll try and distract you into something like politics, hobbies, you know, different things like that. Or, and if he can't do that, he'll usually try to distract you into some important and yet non-essential part of Christianity. And by that, I mean, I know people, you know, here in New England, Wesley and Whitfield were amazing revivalists in England. And it was like this power team God put together. And I think Satan managed to split them up as they began to argue over Calvinism and Arminianism, over predestination, God's sovereignty and free choice. And I think actually both of them were wrong in that thing. And here's my point. It's really important that we spend the resource of our lives on the most important thing that is, the singular, the call of God. And the call of God on your life and my life is that we would be transformed into the image of his son, Jesus. That's it. How's it going for you, baby? God wants to transform us into the image of Jesus. Jesus comes onto the world and he shows the world what the Father looks like. He says, he's the image of the invisible God. Colossians 1:15 says, when you see Jesus, you see God. Our mission statement in the church is not to do chicken dinners or convert people or, you know, X, Y, Z. Our actual mission is to show the world Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. Yeah. So how do we get transformed into his image? Come back tomorrow and I'll tell you. No, it's really simple, actually. How do we get transformed? Number one, we've already been transformed in the Spirit. Peter put it this way in 2 Peter 1. He said, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we become partakers of the divine nature. So how do we become transformed into the image of Jesus? We become transformed as we gaze at Jesus. And again, let me keep pulling on this thread. How do we gaze at Jesus? There's really two ways we gaze at Jesus. We gaze at Jesus through his word, and we gaze at Jesus through worship. We gaze at Jesus. We're transformed as we keep interacting and seeing Jesus in his word. But also, we see Jesus in worship. We all beholding us in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed and transformed into that same image. So come on, baby doll. God wants you changed. God wants you transformed into the image of Jesus. And I want to finish today by asking you a question. It's actually a really important question. What is your image of Jesus? How do you see Jesus? Is it possible that part of the challenge of being transformed into his image is that we have a distorted image, like an icon, literally an image of Jesus, of who Jesus is? I can't be transformed into a real Jesus when I've got some stereotypical British, American, whatever, Jewish, you know, image of Jesus that isn't the real Jesus. The Jews had an image of Messiah that they'd constructed outside of Torah. And when Jesus came along, they couldn't recognize him, even though he fulfilled every single condition to the jot and tittle of the law and the prophets. And it's like they needed to readjust the image of who he was. So God wants to consistently change, tweak, renew your understanding of who he is, and then change, tweak, and renew who you are in your soul to match who you are in your spirit. I hope that hasn't confused you. You know, the really great news as well is it's God who does this, not ourselves. I think he does that, as I said, through his word, through his spirit. He does it as well through the circumstances of every life, of every day, of every encounter, of every choice, of every little thing we do. Every decision we take, everything we do is an opportunity to engage with that process of transformation. Sila. Boom. Thanks for watching, guys. Hey, I'm going to be back later today with a question and answer session. I've got some great questions. I'm going to be answering a question on the age of the earth. Oh, Lord. Where angels fear to tread. I'm going to be talking about how do we know if God's testing us and whether we pass those tests. I'm going to be talking about artificial intelligence. I have a question there on Jordan Peterson. What do I think of the Jordan Peterson phenomenon? And also about socialism. So a little something to upset everybody. Thanks for watching. Check back later. If you hadn't yet subscribed, I'd love it if you hit the subscribe button down there. And then please share these videos. Help get truth out in front of people's eyes. Thanks for watching, guys. Hope to see you in person real soon. Bye for now.